Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship at College Park. So excited to be together today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. It's a very simple way that we do that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person and you're done, please send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will recognize, we'll grab those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Reminder to our kids, we are having children's time right after that first hymn. Speaking of our kids, our high schoolers are headed to New York in a little over a month. And we are looking forward to that. I went up this past week and checked everything out. We're good to go. Except we have a few more things to finish up. One of those is our final fundraiser for the New York City trip. It's called 144 envelopes. You may have noticed as you came in the very bright yellow table. It had earlier 144 envelopes. People are already starting to take them. Inside each one of those envelopes, there is a letter from one of the team members. And you get to choose, for those who are willing and able, you can choose what dollar amount you're willing to donate to the trip. You can start at a dollar all the way to 144. And the beauty of math, if all 144 got gone, we would raise over $10,000 for the trip. And so for anybody, we've had children who said, I want the dollar, and I'm going to open that envelope, I'm going to put my dollar in, and then I'm going to take the letter out, and that's the person I'm going to pray for during the trip. So this is an opportunity for people of every age to help us. We would love for your assistance with that. You're welcome to open that envelope, put your donation in by check or cash, or you can even pay it on the giving kiosk, which is right behind where the table is. So thank you very much. It will be open for three more Sundays, June the 3rd. That's when we're going to be closing that down. So please help us getting that taken care of. Speaking of our young people, Sydney, come on. Sydney Angel is here this morning. Sydney is one of our own. She is finishing up her second year, all the way up here, yes, in front of everyone. Come closer. Sydney is going to be our family ministry intern with youth this summer. And we're very excited that she's going to be here. She's already started working. Even she's got exams, and she believes in it so much, she's already working for the summer. She's so excited. So we want you to be praying for her. At the end of the service, she's going to be down front so that you can come by and say hello to her. Be praying for her. Number one, she has to work with me. Number two, she has to work with teenagers. Those two things alone need lots of prayer. So we're excited about what you're going to do this summer. Smile. That's better. So she's going to do a great job, and we're glad that you're here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. All right. Normal schedule this week, Wednesday. Our normal schedules, school's out all of a sudden this Wednesday, but we're going to have normal activities. So nothing changes with the schedule. We just could not miss fried chicken. All right. That is why Wednesday is happening. So make sure you make note of that. Our young people are going to the bus station this Wednesday. So thank you for that. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information on the pew pad. Thank you so much for that. If you're a guest, we'd like to give something to you. So just raise your hand as the ushers are coming down the aisles now. Raise your hand. They'll recognize you. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Because I'm the one with the microphone, I have a little bit of power, and I'm going to exercise a little bit of personal privilege right now. I need to say thank you on behalf of Jennifer and Matthew. We have felt your prayers and your encouragement, and we have received gifts of love. This week, for those of you who don't know, Jennifer and I will be traveling to China to pick up a little girl. Her name is Hannah. She is 4 years old, and she's coming to live in our house and be a part of our family. It's a very special Mother's Day for us. It has been a dream of Jennifer's since she was in high school. And it has taken me this long to agree with her, which is about average. We thank God for the opportunity that we have been given. We thank God for how this church has rallied around us, and I know we'll continue to do so. I am thankful to be a part of the staff, to be a part of this church. We're excited that she gets to come home and this is her place and that she will be part of this family. We have a blog that we're going to be updating throughout our trip. We invite you to go and to see what's happening. We will be sending out an email this week that has that address on it. I just want you to know for the financial gifts that have been given, and many have mentioned that, it's overwhelming for us. We are just so very thankful for the love that you as College Park have continually shown us. It's almost 15 years that we have been here, and it is a special place, and we're excited that Hannah not only has a new family in us, but she has a new family with you. So we're not sure. She speaks no English, so we're not exactly sure when she will actually come to church. We'll get her here as soon as possible, so be praying for us and be patient. We will appreciate that. I know ni hao, that's all I got. It's going to be a special day, and we're very thankful for all that you have done. Because it is Mother's Day, and all the ways that God uses the ladies of this church, we want to say thank you to who God is and how he has provided. And in so doing, we invite you to pray together. Our Father, thank you for the gift of your love, the gift of your mercy, and how you have given this church so many special ladies, moms, grandmas, aunts, prayer partners, teachers, providers. And all that they do is a reflection of who you are. And because of who you are, we've come to worship you. May everything that's done in this place honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. good to see everybody this morning. I have a question. Can you list, just give me in your mind, what's the greatest thing your mom does for you? In your mind, get it in your mind. One thing. Help you clean your room. Yep. That doesn't change even when you're 46. All right, what else? What else? What's another thing that your mom does for you? Your mom drives you places? Because, like, I don't know if you know this or not, but your feet can't get to the pedals in the car. So you need your mom to get you where you're going. What else? What do moms do? She takes care of you. What are the ways that she takes care of you? What? Feeds you. And I've seen the way some of y'all eat. That takes some work. All right. What else? What else do moms do? What do you think moms do? Help you go to bed, because if it were up to you, you'd stay up all night. Right? And they get you, so they get you to brush your teeth. They get you to get in all snuggly in the bed. What else? What else do moms do? They drive you places. Where else? They read a book to you. They feed you. They give you clothes. They take you places. Right? What else? There's just so many things that moms do. Yeah. They let you go places. Like the train station. Yep. Let you go to the playground. They let you come to church. They take you here. But we have lots of ladies in our church who take care of us in lots of ways. We have prayer partners, ladies who take care, who pray for us all the time. There are ladies who teach your Sunday school classes. There are ladies who teach you on Wednesday night, Sunday morning. All kinds of things. They say hey to you as you come in. They do all kinds of things to take care of us. And many times we just kind of take those things for granted. Well, this morning, we have a gift that I want you to give to your mom and to your grandmom, all right, just to say thank you. But this isn't the only thing I want you to give. I want you, when you give them this flower, give the biggest, strongest hug that you've ever given and say, I love you. Can you do that for me? They're going to love it, I promise. It's going to be the best gift they've ever got. Not the flower, the hug, and the I say I love you. Can you help do that? Let's pray together. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for all the ladies in our church. Whether they're a mom or not, so many of the ladies take care of us. And that is a reflection of who you are. Help us to always be thankful for our moms and our grandmas and all the ladies in our church. May we say thank you and I love you. Thank you that these ladies continually show the example of Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seats now. Good job. Ministry of God's Word comes from Psalm 1. I invite you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 1. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. Psalm 1, it's on page, if you do not have a Bible, there is one there in the pew in front of you. It's on page 383. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Father, on this beautiful Sunday morning, we are reminded everywhere we look of your presence. We see evidence of your creation, your perfect creation. We see evidence of the risen Son on the lives of those here. And we see the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and minds of everyone in this place. We seek to be the kind of people who walk in your ways. That's why we're here this morning, to learn, to be challenged, to say thank you, to be awed in your presence. As we consider all the things we have to be thankful for today, we are especially thankful for all the ladies. They reflect who you are, the love that they have for the people of this church is so evident, and how they encourage and support and love. May all the ladies of our church know how special that they are, how valuable they are, how important they are. They encourage us, challenge us, provide for us in a way that challenges us to go out into the world and share that same love that comes from your throne of grace. May we be encouraged this day to show the world that kind of love. For that's our challenge. For those that on this day, it is not an easy day. We recognize the challenges of motherhood. It is a sweet thing, but it is also can be full of hurt. And so on this day, I ask for comfort and for peace and for strength for the ladies of our church. May they rest and rely on you for this day. Remind them and remind us all what a gift life is. It is a gift from you. May we always treat it that way. May this day be yours. May we be yours. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
the book of Proverbs 1:8-9, Solomon's fatherly advice is, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." We all know that Solomon was a very wise man, and I assume that's why he said, "Listen to your father, but don't forget what your mother said." Mothers, thank you for taking us to church. Sometimes some of us kids would probably prefer to stay at home, but we're glad you brought us anyway. What a difference it made in our lives. Happy Mother's Day. Let us pray. Lord, bless our mothers with wisdom to teach and guide children in a way that will help them to follow you and to become men and women who will be pleasing in your sight. Give all mothers the patience to deal with the difficulties of their job, and most of all, give them a special blessing as they care so lovingly for the gift of children that you have allowed them the honor of raising. Thank you for the mothers who brought us to church and taught us that we should bring our offerings in proportion to the way that the Lord has blessed us. We give thanks for all the blessings that you have given all of us, and we're grateful for this opportunity to give back a portion of the financial blessings that we've received. Let these gifts be used to further glorify your name and to spread your message of love. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
Good job, choir. Y'all doing all right? Yeah, good. Good job. Good job. It would have been real easy this morning to preach a Mother's Day sermon from Proverbs 31. It's a great proverb, probably all across America. There are preachers preaching on Proverbs 31 this morning. So if you've never read Proverbs 31, go back this afternoon and read it. There is some great stuff there about what a mother taught the king, and the king in turn taught his son about what kind of wife he should look for. And it's an incredible piece of literature that you need to be familiar with if you've never read it before. That would have been the easy thing to do. I generally don't do the easy thing. And so I came across the passage of Scripture when I was doing study of Romans earlier in the year. You know that I have a great affection for the writings of Paul, in particularly the book of Romans. And as I read through this passage of Scripture, I thought that would make a great Mother's Day sermon. And the reason that preachers don't preach from Romans chapter 16 is there's a bunch of tough names to pronounce in there. And if you start reading through here, you stumble all over yourself. But I did a little research, and I can't start telling you all the people that I've read to put the sermon together, because it would be a long list. Very few original thoughts. It's more of a compilation and conclusion of stuff that I put together. But I want to read the passage of Scripture to you and then explain why I think it's a great Mother's Day sermon text, okay? Beginning in Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my friend, Epentus, pronounce how you want, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus, Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. We're going to do that at the end of service. A hug, a handshake maybe, okay? Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the churches of Christ send their greetings. If you noticed, you may not have, but if you noticed, of the 26, 27, or 28, depending on how you count them, whether they named them by name or just identified them, Paul singles out 20-some-odd people for personal greeting in these verses. Jeremy made a comment after the first service, I didn't realize there was that many of them. I said, that's because you weren't having to pronounce them. But there's a bunch of them. And out of all of those that he singled out for singular greeting, six of them were women. And you say, well, what's so significant about that? It's pretty interesting because Paul, unrightly so, has been given a reputation for being a male chauvinist because of some of his letters and writings, which were addressing cultural issues and all of that. So that's a whole nother sermon. But he's gotten a reputation for being a male chauvinist, unrightly so. Six of the people that he identified were women. Now, I think that shows the tremendous influence that women had in the early church. Paul could not write the church at Rome. He could not properly speak to them without mentioning the significant role of women in that church. Verse 13 is one that Bible scholars, trust me, have struggled with. Paul writes in that, he says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." That's what one translation said. Another translation, including the NIV, say, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has also been a mother to me," or "to mother to me also," something along that line. So if you take that statement, if you take that verse, there's really kind of three possibilities on how you could be taking it. The first one is, it could mean that Paul had two women in mind, the mother of Rufus and his own personal mother. Another possibility is he could be saying, as the NIV identifies, "I salute Rufus and his mother, who is like a mother to me also." Or it could be interpreted to mean that his mother and Rufus's mother were one in the same, which would make Rufus his what? His brother or half-brother or step-brother, something along the line. There's actually no biblical support for that. We have no evidence that Paul had a brother named Rufus. And if he had a brother, Paul would not have addressed him in kind of this backhanded way. He probably would have said something like, "Greet my brother Rufus and our mother," okay? I don't believe number one is the case either, that Paul had two women in mind, the mother of Rufus and also his own personal mother. Paul was a much more skilled writer than that. He would have certainly given greeting to his own mother individually and not lumped her in with Rufus's mother. So that kind of leaves us with number two, which again is where the NIV translators kind of landed. "I salute," or "I give honor to Rufus and his mother, who is also like a mother to me." And I believe that's what he meant, which raises some interesting questions. When did he meet Rufus's mother? When did Paul actually meet her? Did she nurse him through some kind of injury or illness? I mean, Paul was constantly getting run out of town and lowered in baskets and getting beat up. There was plenty of opportunities where someone could have nursed him back to health. Maybe it was just an illness or something where he got sick. You know, he ate the fish when they told him not to. You know, he drank the water. I don't know. Maybe she nursed him through one of those type of things. Maybe he stayed in her home during one of his missionary journeys. You know, all of this conjecture. How did this woman become so close to Paul that he formed such a close bond that he refers to her as like his mother? Who is this lady, and how did they get that bond? I read a lot of theories on this. Let me throw out one which is kind of interesting. If you go back in the Gospel of Mark, it tells us that Simon of Cyrene, who was the man who carried the cross of Jesus, that's right, Simon of Cyrene had two sons, Alexander and Rufus, exactly. Either y'all are really bright, or you were in the first service, or you just love Paul. Yeah, okay. Rufus. One of Simon of Cyrene's sons' name was Rufus. Now, could this be the same Rufus that Paul mentions here? If it was, then Rufus's mother would be Simon of Cyrene's wife, which would make Rufus the son of the man who carried Jesus' cross, and it would make his mother the wife of the man who carried Jesus' cross. Could it be that this lady was the wife of the man who carried Jesus' cross? And if that's the case, how did she connect with Paul? fascinating possibilities. We have no biblical evidence for that. But again, theologians love to speculate about this kind of stuff. They really do. What if that was the relationship? What if Paul had a relationship with the wife of the man who carried the cross of Jesus? Unbelievable. No one really knows who this remarkable woman was, who served as a mother figure for Paul. But doesn't it make a really interesting Mother's Day sermon? I thought so. You know, some people, they think about Mother's Day, and they think it's a bunch of sentimental foolishness. To those people, I say, boo, shame on you. You know, there's nothing wrong with a little sentiment, right? There's nothing wrong. It's healthy to have a little bit of sentiment. Granted, I understand that there are women in the Bible who present poor examples of motherhood, just like there are women today who present poor examples of motherhood. But I still have to think that most mothers do the right thing and deserve recognition. So I want to join the Apostle Paul this morning and salute all of the mothers who are here. And as Jeff has already said, that includes all of you women, because whether you are a mother in the biological sense, you are in the emotional and the spiritual sense to all the children in this church and probably in your neighborhood and all of your circles of influence. So salute number one goes to mothers because of their persistent love. Let me give you an example of this. I've been in waiting rooms in hospitals a lot. And I've observed people in those waiting rooms in hospitals. Men have a particular pattern about them, as do the women. The women in waiting rooms, the moms in waiting rooms, they tend to sit and to ponder, to pray, to think, to weigh out possibilities. Dads are like cats on a hot tin roof. Men are, they're playing with the remote. They're trying to find this channel. Do you want something to drink? I'm going to run out. I'm going to go check on this. They cannot sit still. They're in and out. They're moving around. They cannot. Now, guys, I get it. I'm a dad. I understand. We're fixers. We like to fix something. And when the doctor is out there fixing it, we can't fix it. So it really makes us nervous. We'll get to that on Father's Day, okay? But for this morning, our thesis is the fact that women have that persistent, steadfast, solid love and care. They're just there, always there. It cannot be denied. There's a story from the Old Testament that's fascinating. If you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 3, there's a lady named Rizpah. Now, Rizpah is not exactly the model of motherly virtue. She was one of King Saul's concubines, and as such, she had two sons out of wedlock with King Saul. They come back into the story when David, after he ascended to the throne, he had those two boys killed because they had participated in a conspiracy that resulted in the deaths of a lot of people. So King David ordered that their bodies should be hung from a public gallows. Now, that's when Rizpah comes back into the story. She goes to the execution site, and she begins a very sad and lonely vigil beside the bodies of her two sons. We're told in this very hideous scene that she drove away the vultures by day and the jackals by night. She did not want scavengers to eat the bodies of her sons. And when David heard about this, Scripture tells us he was moved to compassion. He went to Gibeon and had the bodies given a decent burial. My point, Rizpah's vigil speaks to the persistent love of a mother. They can't turn loose. The poet Rudyard Kipling, you know him as the Jungle Book guy, right? The guy who wrote Jungle Book. Rudyard Kipling was a poet, and he wrote this. He said, "If I were hanged on the highest hill, I know whose love would follow me still. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were drowned in the deepest sea, I know whose tears would come down to me. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were damned by body and soul, I know whose prayers would make me whole. Mother of mine, mother of mine." Now, we won't debate the theology of the last stanza, but understand what he's trying to say is the persistence of a mother's love. The second salute would be for the tremendous impact that our moms have had in the lives of each and every one of us. I am convinced, absolutely convinced, that the most influential person in the life of Jesus, apart from God the Father, was his earthly mother, Mary. Now, that's not to detract from Joseph's role at all. Had he lived to see Jesus in his adult years, I think he would have been right there on Calvary's Hill, standing right next to Mary. Or if it had been in my family, he would have likely been killed trying to keep his son from being put to death. Okay, so Joseph's role was significant, but Mary's role in God's plan did not end when she gave birth to Jesus. She was there. God used her to mold his personality. God used him to mold and to shape his ministry. Listen to how John begins the second chapter of his gospel. John chapter 2, verse 1. It says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Mary was there for Jesus. Now, I know the context of this verse is talking about the fact that she was there at the wedding. I get that. I understand that. But what was going to happen at this wedding? His first miracle. His first miracle. Did Mary know that at the time? No. Jesus probably did, but Mary didn't. The point is that he was there for her, she was there for him, and it was constant. It was constant. Mary stayed close to her son. As you read the Gospels, she's there with him. In Mark chapter 3, verse 32, and a multitude was sitting around him being Jesus, and they said to him, again, Jesus, look, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. Jesus, mom and your brothers, they're outside. Again, they're always here, which is great. Fantastic. She was always there with him. And Jesus recognized that, and he acknowledged this loyalty by his mother. When he was on the cross, he's got the sin of the world bearing down on him. And what's he thinking about? His mama. He looks down from the cross in one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture. He looks down from the cross and sees his mother. And he sees the Apostle John. And John records what happens in his gospel, chapter 19, verse 26 and following. It said, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by her, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he looked at the disciple and said, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus asked John to take care of his mother. He's got the sin of the world on him, and he's thinking about taking care of his mama. That same kind of influence can be seen in other individuals. Here, as we think about earthly, non-son of God type of characters, you got John Wesley, founder of the Methodist movement, who greatly was influenced by his mother, Susanna. We've got Abraham Lincoln, who led this nation through an incredible crisis. But when you ask him who made him the man he was, he said it was his mother. Many of us have similar stories, don't we? Thirdly, we salute our mothers because where they are is where home is. Where they are is where home is. I read a story about a minister who was visiting a family who had just moved to Memphis from Baltimore, Maryland. And he asked them there, you know, are you all originally from Baltimore? And the man replied, no, my family moved around very frequently. There's really no one place that I can say was home except for the fact wherever mother was, that's where home was. That's good stuff. Maybe you can identify with that sentiment. A house is just a physical structure. Home is where your mother is. Home is where mom is. It's highly appropriate. It's highly appropriate that we have a day like today to salute our moms, to single out a day in the year to recognize mothers. But there ought not to be a day that goes by that we do not call our mothers blessed. Amen? You know, the highest tribute that we can pay, the highest tribute that we can give to our mothers, though, is not to praise her. It's not to give her a gift. It's not to pay her a visit, even though I plan to do that this afternoon and tomorrow. And it's not to simply come to church on her day, although that's a good thing. I'm glad you're here. Your mama would be pleased that you're here. But no, the greatest tribute I think that we can give to our mothers is to continue to grow and to be the kind of person that she wanted us to be. And that kind of person is to be like Jesus. If you want to honor your mother, spend your time learning more about Jesus and seeking to be more like Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and ask for His help. Gracious Father, thank You. Thank You that You have given us mothers to love us, to encourage us, to be with us, to be persistent in their love for us. Father, to provide a home, to nurture us in, to raise us up, teach us about Your ways and Your word. Father, even as we say all of that, as we've already acknowledged, we know that there are homes that people have grown up in that did not have mothers like that. But now, Father, You have blessed them in bringing them into a congregation, into fellowship with those who can emulate those qualities. Father, ultimately, we know those all come from You. They come from Your love, from Your grace, and Your mercy. And so we pray that we would seek to be more like You. That we would love unconditionally. We would be persistent in that love. Father, that we would be there. That we would be there for one another, to encourage one another, to lift one another up when we fall. And that, Father, we would provide the kind of home, church home, home in our homes, in our houses, those type of places where people can come to know Christ because of His love through us. And as we do that, we will give You all the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not know, you do not have a personal relationship with Christ, that is step one. In knowing God's love, recognizing Jesus as your personal Savior is step number one. I'll be here in just a moment as we sing. And I invite you, if you do not have that relationship with Christ, come. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't want to come this morning, please contact me this week. Let's get this settled. It determines eternity for you. If you're here this morning, you say, I am a believer, but I'm not the kind of lovely person that my mom wanted me to be. Repentance can begin today. You can certainly settle that where you're standing, where you're singing, where you're praying. The altar will be open. I'll be glad to speak with you if you'd like for me to do that. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this church, there's a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. invite you, following our benediction and choral response, to greet one another, encourage one another, meet our guests that are here with us. You'll come and stand? Yes, she will. Our intern will come and stand with us, and Sydney will be here, and she'd love to meet you. There's going to be a test. They're going to tell you your names, their names, and you're going to, yeah. All right, Jeff's going to give her a test tomorrow, but she would love to meet you. Come give her a word of encouragement as well. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that we've received. Father, we pray that we would in turn be a blessing to others that we meet this week. Father, thank you for our mothers. Father, how dear they are to us. We pray that as we live out our life this week, that we would live a life that seeks to serve you and to please you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.